All right, we're on. Turn with me again to John in chapter 5. John in chapter 5. We're going to begin this evening in verse 22. John in chapter 5 and verse 22. Please stand for the reading of God's Word. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, and we ask that you would show us your truth out of your word. We pray, Lord God, that it would encourage us tonight that you are truly the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your word. We ask, Lord God, that you be with those that are here in attendance and those that couldn't make it, Lord. Lord, tonight we come to you and we lift up those that are in Florida. Lord, I can't imagine what they're going through right now. And so, Lord, we pray that you would protect them, watch over them. And Lord, in this storm that they're going through, that they may be able to see just how truly powerful and magnificent you are. Lord, I love you and I thank you for this opportunity on this Lord's Day to meet with your people. Give me the grace I need to be able to minister to them effectively. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Verse 22. This morning we looked at the Sabbath, what that looked like, and now we're going to go on and we're going to enter into Christ's discourse to the Jewish people, and we're going to see where he's coming from as he speaks to them. Verse 22, it says, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. How does the Lord judge us? How does the Son judge us? Turn with me, if you can, for the first way that he judges us, to Matthew in chapter 25. Matthew in chapter 25, turn with me. We're going to go through some scripture tonight. The scripture says that he's committed all judgment unto the Son. Matthew 25, 31 through 46. Listen to it for just a moment concerning the second coming of Christ and when we stand before him one day. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. We're going to go to the end first and then we're going to work our way back. Listen to what it says in 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. It sounds like to me he is judging here very clearly between two different things. Listen to what it says. 35, For I was hungry and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger and ye took me in, naked and ye clothed me. I was sick and ye visited me. I was in prison and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungry and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. When our Lord Jesus comes back to get us, one day He will stand before us and He will judge us accordingly. If we are sheep or if we are then goats. 41, listen to what it says. Then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed unto everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you took me not in. Naked and ye clothed me not, sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungry or a thirst or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away in everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. We see from our text tonight in Matthew 25, 31 through 46, that Christ Jesus, He will judge all things one day. And we go all the way to the end, and that's where we have started tonight, but now, or to the second coming, but now we will go to the end again, and we will start working back our way to the church. Listen to what it says in Revelations. If you can, turn there with me for just a moment. Revelations in the second chapter. Turn there with me. Concerning the churches and concerning Christ Jesus judging. And I want us to understand that as He judged these churches, He judges our church in the here and now. You say, Brother Matthew, you don't fully understand that. I'm going to explain it to you. The second thing that I want you to see is He judges us in the here and now. Listen to what He said to the churches, the seven churches that He gave us in the book of Revelations. Our Lord passed judgment on the churches in Revelations. Listen to what He said to Ephesus. He told them that they had left their first love. Revelations in chapter 2, remember, listen to what it says. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Their first love was the Lord Jesus Christ, and the church at Ephesus left it, and the Lord Jesus Christ comes and He judges them accordingly, at which after that He says, I want you to repent. So we see that He's passing judgment on this church at Ephesus. And then He goes over to, He goes to Smyrna and He judged them and told them that He knew of their good works. He told them not to fear what they would suffer. He said, be faithful unto death and I will give thee a crown of life. He speaks to the church at Smyrna and He says, I know what you're doing and you're struggling and I know that you're being persecuted, but keep pressing on and keep pressing on. And you'll have the crown of life. To Pergamos. Pergamos held the doctrine of Balaam, and he judged them accordingly. Pergamos held the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit fornication, at the end of which he tells them also to repent. Thyatira, let that woman Jezebel teach, is what the scripture teaches us. Listen to what it says. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and thy charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee. Because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. The scripture is very clear that the churches that allow women to preach from the pulpit and the pastor of the church, they are Jezebels and they are under a Jezebel spirit. Now, I can't get any clearer than that. They have a Jezebel spirit and they go and they teach to the servants to seduce, to commit fornication and to eat things that they ought not to eat. The church of Sardis, he told them, you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead. And he tells them, repent. Philadelphia. He says to them that because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptations. Laodicea. He said, you're not hot. You're not cold. You're fence straddlers. You're apathetic to everything. Repent. So we see that the Lord Jesus Christ, He will judge us one day, but He also judges the church in the here and now. Let's look at how He judges the church in the here and now with us. The third thing that I want you to see tonight is He judges us, the church, pertaining to the church ordinances and how we administer them and how we keep them up. Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians in chapter 11. Turn with me if you can there. 1 Corinthians in chapter 11. This is important that we see this. 1 Corinthians in chapter 11. Listen to what it says. 25 through 31. Concerning the Lord's Supper. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Speaking on Christ Jesus, judging all things. 26. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. You say, well, how does he judge the church? Let's look at it. 29. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak, many are sick, and many are dead or asleep. So we see that he judges the church. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Let's move on. Verse 22 in John chapter 5. Let's go to it. Verse 22, John chapter 5. I'm sorry, verse 23. Let's move on. And it says that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. Some of these I'm just going to read because they're self-explanatory. I don't have to explain that. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. We understand that they are one. So just as we lift up and exalt the Father, we're to lift up and exalt the Son. Listen to what it says in 24. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Listen to what it says. Truly, truly, he that hears my words with spiritual ears, not physical ears. This is not talking about hearing audibly. That has nothing to do with this. Because hearing audibly cannot save us. We have to have spiritual ears to hear with. And the only way that we can have spiritual ears to hear with is that we first be made alive to hear. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. I say this all the time and it's so true. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. A dead person can't hear. Period. They can't hear. The spiritually dead cannot spiritually hear. We have to understand that they can't. The spiritually dead cannot spiritually hear until the Lord spiritually calls to them. And that's exactly what we went over last week. And when they hear the voice of the Son of God and they believe, they are saved. And so we have to understand and rightly divide this, that when it says verily, verily, or truly, truly, the amen, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. When we are saved, we will not come into condemnation. We understand that, but we're passed from death then unto life. 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. The dead. How can the dead hear unless they be made alive to do that? And so we see that he's verifying what he's saying, or solidifying what he's saying in the verse after. He says, the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Truly, truly, verily, verily, those that hear the Son shall live. Verse 26. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. We understand that the Father is the great originator. He's the great orchestrator. He's the one from the beginning to put everything into motion. But guess what? Because they're one, Jesus was there too. And he has the power to do exactly the same. 27. And hath given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. We're going to look at 27 through 29 together. 27 through 29 together. And hath given him the authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this. Don't wonder at this. He says, don't wonder at this. For the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. So we see that there was a spiritual death in 24 and 25 that they're raised from. But here in 28 and 29, we see that there is a literal resurrection or a literal death that they are going to be raised from one day. 28, marvel not at this. Don't wonder at this. For the hour is coming. Remember what he told Nicodemus? Marvel not, Nicodemus. You must be born again. He's telling the people, quit marveling at what I'm saying and listen to what I'm telling you. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. In other words, when he comes back, the hour is coming, and it's even at hand now that when he comes back, he will speak. And when he speaks, he will call and everybody will rise. Everybody. When he called Lazarus, Lazarus rose. But here, when he calls out, everybody will rise. And we'll see what happens in 29 to those people that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. It says that they will come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And this is what he's saying. There's coming a day when all that are in the grave will hear and come out. And the ones that have done good are the ones that have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ in the past will come out and they will be raised in newness of life. They will have glorified bodies and their spirits will meet up and they'll meet the Lord in the air when he comes back. Glorified bodies. And they'll go to be with him for all eternity. They'll be raised in life. They'll be raised to that glorified body. But it also says, and some unto the resurrection of damnation. And we have to understand that for those that raise into the resurrection of damnation, they will also raise. All people will raise at the end. Those that have done good or trusted in the Lord to the resurrection of life, will have bodies fitted for heaven. And those that have done bad or wickedly, they will raise to the resurrection of damnation. And they will have bodies fit for destruction. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Same verse. And this is the truth. Those that have gone on before us, and if the Lord tarries, it will be us as well. Those that are true children of God will raise, and they'll meet the Lord and be united with Him. And they'll have a body that is a glorified body. I don't know what that looks like. Don't ask me. I have no idea. I would assume that it would look much like Christ Jesus when He resurrected and came out. But I don't know that. But I know that they'll have a body fitted for heaven where they'll go to be with Him for all eternity. And those that raise that are evil will have bodies fitted for destruction. They'll be cast into hell for everlasting contempt, outer darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth, and their body will never burn up. Never. So you have those that have believed in the Lord and those that have not. You see where He judges between the sheep, and you see where He judges between the goat. And here we have it again in 29. "And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Verse 30. "I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me." Verse 30. "I can do of mine own self nothing." Listen to it, guys. He can't do anything of himself. Why? Because him and the Father and the Spirit are what? One. That's why he can't do anything of himself. Because he's always with them. The Trinity is always there. And let me give you an example of what I mean by this. In the book of Genesis, when they were creating man, he said, "Let us make man in our image." Y'all catch that? And so when he says, "I can do nothing of myself," it's because the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are always there. Listen to what I'm telling you, and they can all do the same things. I was telling Courtney just a moment ago, a lot of times we like to attribute one thing to the Father, one thing to the Son, and one thing to the Spirit, like the Father calling, the Son redeeming, and the Spirit sealing until the day of redemption with that special Holy Spirit of promise. But listen, church, I want you to understand something, that we see that all three can do all three of the same thing. Listen to what it says, John 6:63, concerning the Spirit. We see that it is the Spirit that quickens the flesh, and the flesh profits nothing. So we see that the Spirit quickens in 6:63, but over here in John 5:24 that we just read, we see that the Son does it. Listen to what it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word," those that have been made alive by the word of Christ. So we see not only does the Spirit do it, but not only does the Son do it, but listen to what the Father does. John 6:44, "No man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draws him." And so we see that all three of them do exactly the same thing, but they can all do different things. When you figure that out, let me know. All right, because I ain't quite figured it out yet, but it's the truth. And we understand that because Scripture teaches us that. So he says, "I can of my own self do nothing." I can of my own self do nothing because God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit are there. And those are not, that's not just the three examples that, that's not the only place where that's given. I mean, it's all through the Bible that we see these examples in Scripture. We see them all through the Scriptures. But I just wanted to bring those out to you. Listen to what it says. "And I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just." You know, we don't ever have to worry about Jesus Christ judging us in an unworthy manner. We don't ever have to worry about Him misjudging us. He judges us according to His Word, and His Word is true, and His Word is perfect, and He knows what it is, and He is a righteous judge. There's a lot of people that pass false judgment on other people, but Jesus cannot do that. That's good news for the Christian, bad news for those that are not saved. Because He knows how to judge, and He judges righteously. And he judges accordingly to his word. 31. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. I'm going to stop in 32 right here tonight. We're going to pick back up at 32 the next time we meet, and we will go and we will finish this discourse that Christ gives then to the Jewish people. Somebody told me this morning, man, you cut it off pretty quick when you was done. That's right, because I'm done. And so you won't ever have to worry about when I'm done preaching to you. We're done here in 32. If we can, let's stand. And as we have a song tonight as our